Once again, welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The author of this day, the author of our lives, the author of eternal life. We're very thankful. You know, I think it's what is pleasing is as we really come together to sing, you know, and to reason on scriptures, we may study. We may hear a message, but I think that the joy that we exhibit, the happiness being with one another in the house of the Lord, it authored through Christ, it is a devotion, and it's a consecration, you know, unto worship. This is where we are worshiping, and showing homage to the God that is. And through his beloved Son. Or as messages are placed upon my heart, there are sometimes the things I will be given certain thoughts, and things just don't seem to be right. But then a subject matter will appear, and then scriptures, thoughts, and thought train occur. And I believe that that's a precious thing when God does that for us. But talking about building with God, you know, it's a subject that, first of all, building a structure and so on, that a lot of my life I've worked on, you know, construction here and there. I've worked on construction with steel and working with my hands, building things and so on that way. And God relates our lives, our bodies, our spiritual life as that beautiful holy temple and housing the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ the Son and God the Father. And I want to talk about that. You know, some of this is going to address those that may not have entered in, by the way, or started building, and so on. And it's something that we can, as we would witness to others, to tell them, you need to enter that path. You need to start building in your life. You know, there is eternal life. There is a life never ending past this life. And the determination is, where will you spend it? How much is weighed in balance? In a court of law, you might say, could you be convicted of being a Christian? What about in God's court? Could you be convicted of being a Christian? Is there enough evidence that we'd be convicted as a Christian? You know, I may have a lot of things to answer for, you know, as I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But I like to talk about building with God. And there's different, I think, levels of understanding here from a very simple standpoint to those that we all need to pay attention to. I know I need to. That's how we're all, you know, I can't stand there for you, you know, as you're constructing your eternal life, if you will, through Jesus Christ. Nor can you for I. And it's up to each of us. You know, how we would, that relates, and how we use the building tools through the Lord Jesus Christ and his message, his gospel, his words, in order to put those things in place that are necessary and continue forging our life, if you will. And so, as I've stated, everyone forges or builds a life within the time they have granted. Everyone. What kind of life? That's the difference. But everyone's forging and building their life. And depending on the beginnings, circumstances, most importantly, the choices they will make will determine the life to be lived. You know, and it's kind of a interesting, sometimes we think back, you know, there's a called footprints in the sand. You've seen that, where you look back over certain parts of their life, and the person asked the Lord, how come it during these real hard parts of my life that there was only one set of footprints and not two when you're supposed to be walking beside me. And he said, it was then, during those hard times, when I carried you. And all the benefits that God has for his children, to encourage, to lead, to teach, to take care of, to bless. And we're going to look at those things. Interesting. Interesting. I might have to close up and to come in because something doesn't want to. Just a moment here. Hold, please. There. So the Lord invites all to come to him and build a life with his principles and design. You know, if you take a look, and a lot of my life was spent reading blueprints, you know, I would study them, you know, because, you know, especially with a machine to be built or whatever, there would be a lot of mistakes that I could circumvent or get beyond or correct before it became a major catastrophe. Because as before the steel hit the floor, I had the machine built in my mind. I had to. And already pretty much almost loading it on the truck. Because if you didn't, you know, there could be things that really became a calamity. The Lord's principles and his design, okay, and he has the master plan. He knows what works. He knows what works. He knows how our life. He has a model. He has a plan. He has a way for us to be able to circumvent those mistakes and those disasters in our life as well. Sometimes it's a matter that we have to go through something in order to learn. Maybe it's to be more compassionate. Maybe it's towards someone else. Who knows? Sometimes we are allowed to go through a time of temptation or trial or so on. So we may know. You know, we were joking with our sister. She was blessed to come to be here today. And we asked if she prayed for patience, you know, because she's being tested. So if we asked for patience, maybe we're going to have a test. Who knows? We need to learn, don't we? I know I need to learn. And so on. But in so doing, the house will stand, be blessed. If we are according to his principles and his design, if we try to go off in our own way, and especially if we walk outside the pasture of the good shepherd, what's on the outside? The shepherd usually will put his sheep in an area that he can see. He'd call out for it. And a lot of shepherds, you see that they carry the shepherd's crook. What was that for? It was to be able to physically draw the sheep back out of trouble or fend off a wolf or whatever that may be. And so as we're talking about, in so doing, you know, as he has invited us to come and build a life with his principles, his design, that the house will stand and be blessed. We want our house, our life, and those of our brothers and sisters to be blessed. And we're taught what sin is. We are taught what his loving principles are, what we need to be engaged in, what we need to push away. How do we need to go on unto to virtue and impeccable character, like it talks about going on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. And we're going to see how important the foundation is as well. But when we build with God, we get two for one. We get two houses for one. I'm not going to tell you about that right now. I will here in a little while. But we get two for one. You're building your life and you're building your house and you're adorning the temple. If you want to see the symbolic significance of the temple, you know, look back and look at the tail end of Exodus and into Leviticus about where they were building the temple. Look into 1 Kings, where it talks about Solomon building the temple and the fineries that was put into it. Great wealth. I wonder where did he get all the gold? Where did he get all the copper? Where did he, you know, all the things that were put into there? Great wealth was put into the temple to adorn it. The best craftsmen were hired. Hiram of Tyre came, King Hiram, and in order to adorn the inside of the temple. Such craftsmanship never had been known before. The copper, I think that the copper they got from Michigan. That's just my thought. Don't have any continued proof of it, other than you've probably seen the study on metallurgy where there was pictures, if you will, over in Egypt, showing, you know, the smelting pits and those same copper ingots that they were forming here in Michigan and being shipped out. They found here, and so somewhat of a tie. That's just my opinion. But when we build with God, we get two for one. Before starting our building, though, we must answer questions. There are things that we must consider. And Jesus asks us to consider very deeply before we start upon that path or start building in our life. And those things we must continually be thinking about, even as well. When we have entered in, by the way, even, and there were many cataclysmic things that took place in our life, a life-changing event, because new life through Jesus Christ was to occur. That we need to consider that repentance is always to be in repentance. We must always exhibit faith under repentance to maintain repentance and what that means. Not try to integrate the things that we left behind. The Apostle Paul talked to us about don't drag in, basically, the things that we left behind. But those questions. We must do some site planning before we build in our foundation. We're going to talk about it. We're going to do some site planning. Okay? We were scoping out the addition back here, looking at the site, what we had needed to do to level or to prepare or to scrape the sod off or whatever the matter. We had to do some site planning before we could proceed. Was it even feasible, that project? Our heart may not be in the condition to repent, to give up, to have that personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father through the Holy Spirit. We must be consecrated unto that repentance and that transformation of the new creature. 2 Nephi 16 and 13. Please turn with me there. 2 Nephi 16 and 13. I think I have that one slightly wrong. Just a moment. That's what I'm telling you. I had that reference slightly wrong. Just a moment. I'm going to go on. But we need to be fully committed. Pardon?
Reverse. 1316.
Well, I have been known to be slightly dyslexic at times. You get things slightly turned around. I will check that out for a moment, because it was a very important one. And thank you very much. Thank you very much. Because dyslexia did take over. We had that backwards. We're looking at chapter 13, verse 16. And it is a very crucial verse. We need to be fully committed. Page 161, the Doctrine of Christ, and talking about baptism. And so it said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy." Full purpose of heart. Now, hypocrisy, believing one thing, doing another, or saying one thing and doing another. "And no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord, your Savior, down into the water, according to his word. Then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost." He talks about entering in, going through that plan, didn't he? But in the beginning, faith unto repentance. That's where it's very important. If we don't enact faith unto repentance and clearing the building site, if you will, the rest isn't going to matter. I heard one old brother in the church told me, he says, if you didn't take your heart in with you, or if you haven't taken it with no hypocrisy, no deception, full purpose of heart, we can walk in the water, we can walk out, and what we got was wet. It's a very serious thing. Become a new creature before the Lord. You know, there's a slightly funny pun, if you will. There was a breakfast that was served. Eggs and ham. Who gave more to the breakfast? The chicken or the pig? Remember, the chicken gave up the eggs. But the pig was committed. And so are we. You know, just like Jesus said, our life, is it hidden, Christ? Have we given up unto new life? Let us take a look over, if you will, over in the book of Luke, in the 14th chapter, verses 26 through 30. Let's see here. Luke 14, 26 through 30. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." You know, especially when we... there are those that want baptism, should be fully instructed. They should know what they're committing to, their life in Christ. Not just an impulsive decision, but a life-changing one. And it is not that we have repented, we're baptized, and we go back to an old life or lifestyle, or try to integrate things back in that we left behind that were sinful or is a hindrance to our going on to virtue and blessing. Okay, we need to sit down and we count the cost. What is the cost of not engaging and building and taking care of what's necessary for eternal life? Have you counted the cost? What is being weighed in the balances? What type of material should we build upon? What type of material are you going to be building upon? 3 Nephi 6 and 36, and I know that there are a couple other passages that say the same. "Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that rock. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." What would happen if we build upon sand? It gets washed away. Storms come, get washed away. Building upon rock. You know? I know we had a lot of backfill and sand and stuff like that here when we were pouring, but we were down. We were hitting clay. I'm telling you. We were hitting clay. Pretty good stuff. And we were down below the sand. We were building on good stuff. You know? But he's talking about things that are not strength-bearing, not truth. Falsehoods, not being committed, not maybe believing one thing and doing another, or whatever. Not being truthful unto the Lord. The Lord knows our heart. He knows whether being true to Him or not. There's so much that could be said about, you know, that. Or not building at all. That we've built our life. We've gone along and forged a life, but not in Jesus Christ. We've built upon temporal, earthly things. We must clear the sight of rock and debris in life through repentance. There are things that we may have done or thought or practiced or had in our life that were destructive to our very souls. It's called sin. We need to clear the sight. Not that it was sin, but we took the shed out of the way so we could start our building back here, didn't we? We had to get that out of there so we could proceed. We needed to clear the site. I remember my brothers and I, we uncoupled the swing set, took the swing set, you know, out of the way. Or we would have destroyed it with the tractor or whatever. We're just about dead with the barn. But so that we could proceed. And there needs to be things taken care of in our lives so that we may be able to fully engage. We can sit there in a car and we can rev that engine till it blows up. But until you put it in gear, you're not going anywhere. Alma 16:2-18. Therefore may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that you begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you, yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. And in my understanding, we talk about having mercy upon you, and grace, I believe, is synonymous with mercy. God's holy mercy, paid for through Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy. Cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. He wants to save you. Of course he is. He's powerful, and he wants to exercise blessing and power in your life and purpose and plan. We need to stick to his plan, his blueprint. And he knows what's destructive to our earthly lives and also our spiritual ones and our souls. We need to care for our souls. Should we start is the question everyone faces out there in life. A lot of things that keep people from starting the path or starting to build the holy temple unto the Lord, if you will. Should we start? There are a lot of roadblocks in life. I'll do it later. I'll take care of it another time. There needs to be something cataclysmic or special that has to happen before I can know or start or believe. It's a big question. The answer is very simple. We have everything to gain, blessings, real friends, true joy, spiritual wisdom, most importantly, eternal life. You know, I have jokingly said that I would take and prepare a sermon sometime called The Eternal Poker Game. Seriously. Not that I'm telling anybody they should play the game, but the principles of where you're betting your whole life upon. What are you putting in? Are you putting in your life that there is eternal life? And all that there is, that it is there for you. or not engaging and betting. That's really the premise of atheism. They're betting that there is no God and that there is nothing beyond. In the scriptures it says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And they go through life betting there is no God. You have to get up in the morning and you have to convince yourself by faith that there is no God. No joy, no happiness, friends that will leave you. What's blessing? I have no idea, they would say. There is no joy. And life can unravel, and when there are sorrows, they are deep. And there's real pain. Or we have everything to lose if we do not start our building with the Lord. We have everything to lose. We would lose it all. No blessing, no direction, only our own strength and wits. Earthly dissolving happiness. Dissolving. I thought it was a key word I put on there. Dissolving happiness. It's because it's not lasting eternal joy through Jesus Christ and salvation through Him that was prepared before the foundation of the world. So then, what? We lose our soul. It's called eternal torment. And it doesn't stop. That's why, with all the, I know we see it exhibited in the Gospels of all those that were given that very, very strong witness to be given the word of the Lord, and with all the passion they knew how, even unto the laying down of their lives, to tell people how true it is, to devote their lives to it. Many gave up their lives for it, because no human soul be lost. The sons of Mosiah, that was their desire. They were going to go up among us, a ferocious people. Mosiah was very concerned, went to the Lord and said, what do I do here? These are my sons. And the Lord said, you let them go. You let them go up there and preach among the Lamanite. And they were used. See, after their experience with the angel that shook the earth and changed them, from destroying the church to building up the church, they said they would that no human soul would be lost. That was their desire. But we have everything to gain on one side, but you have everything to lose on the other. If we do not. I'm going to ask you a question. Was it raining and storming when Noah built the ark? Really? Probably had good weather and probably had a lot of help. Some of the timbers, they had to work to do it. They probably had to have ancient cranes and things like that. I bet there are a lot of technology that we haven't seen that have either not been uncovered or whatever the matter. It must have been massive. Those beams and so on, they had to work. But it wasn't raining a storm when Noah built the ark to prepare. When did Jesus tell us that we should prepare? When we hear the word. Engage. It wasn't raining and storming. We can't wait for a sign. Can't wait for the storms of whatever situation or to that, that time when we stand before the Lord. We can't do it. And we have that example here in Matthew 24. It talks about when he's to come. Now we look at the signs of the times, and we just have looked, and we talk to one another. It's kind of neat. We'll talk with them. Did you see this? Did you see that? This could fit in right here, or could fit in there, to the coming of the Lord. And it's kind of neat. We talk about those things. But regardless of the matter, so it's going to be kind of that example, the ark of Christ. The day of the hour knoweth no man, nor not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Remember, the Father will appoint this when the Son will come. He knows the day of the hour. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then Noah and his sons closed the door behind them. Tell me, Joyce. God closed the door. I wonder who would catch that. Probably had to be, I'd say, a pretty massive door, too. But God closed the door, sealed it, probably, too, so that no water would come in. Noah entered the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Now, you know, and the thing is that you could take a look, it's called the Parable of the Tares. Read that in the book of Matthew. I think it's about 10th chapter, right in that area. Don't quote me, but in Matthew. The Parable of the Tares. And but then two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other left. Watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And the words of Jesus, and he's telling us what it's going to be like at the end when he comes. And one key thing here that, you know, if we're not on the ark, where are we? If we're not on the ark of Jesus Christ, where are we? We're outside. And it says they took them all away. If you were not in the ark of Christ for however means, whatever is he's determined to be saved, we're outside. We're either gathered with the tares or taken away. All the way. Elmos 16 and 231. You cannot say that when you're brought to that awful crisis that I will repent and I will return to my God. That crisis before the judgment seat of Christ. And we don't know. We're not guaranteed of how long we're going to be here. I'm not guaranteed of tomorrow. But we cannot say that when we're brought to that crisis that, you know, they were going to make out our soul salvation then. We can't do that. He tells, today is the day for men to prepare to meet God, wherein cometh the night of darkness, wherein no labors can be performed. So we make the wise choice and begin. We begin to build. We begin to build our life. 1 Corinthians 3:9-11, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For another foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's none other way. And all of these so-called false religions out there, you know, this one sign makes me cringe, look at coexist. And really trying to, I think, promote that there are other paths, other ways, and things like that. Dangerous. Very dangerous. And it even where there's these atheists that will put up there or satanic things near a Christmas scene. And I do not believe whatsoever that that's what the original framers of our Constitution meant at all. That we were based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ in this and it doesn't say about everything else. And not one Christian, Judeo-Christian religion would be above another, was the discussion with Thomas Jefferson's letter. I don't think it meant for all everything else to prevail or to be given right. I think that's what they meant. But that the gospel of Christ because our laws are based upon, they said, Blackstone's commentaries. Blackstone's commentaries in the beginning were based upon the King James Version of the Bible. That's true. If you want to check that out, take a look at a site called wildbuilders.com with David Barton. And a very good source of our true history in this country. We must build carefully and prayerfully and humbly as we add to our faith in a virtue and knowledge and godly wisdom. And we want to do that very carefully and prayerfully, and we talked about fasting this morning. even as well. Because we don't want pride to come with these virtue. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That fire is the truth in Jesus Christ at judgment. The word of God is what will the ultimate benchmark prevailing. It is the gauge by which all shall measure. And if we put in things in our life that were earthly or didn't have anything to do spiritually, there are also things that we may hold on to and as a belief that are not a salvation issue. It's like, I think the copper came from Michigan. Okay, it's not a salvation issue. I like to think that because there's a lot of findings. And that could be a piece of the wood, hay, stubble. But you see, the fire take is heat. Wood, what's the ignition point of wood? Can anybody tell me? About 150 degrees, right in that area. Can anybody tell me what the ignition point of silver is? What about gold? What about a diamond? A lot of heat to do a diamond, wouldn't it? They'll come out of volcanic means. But so, there are things that are of worth, that are of value, that are spiritual, that are everlasting, that are eternal, that we base our life upon, you know. But the judgment and the fire of the truth is what will determine what is of worth and what was not. But if any man's work abide which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, you know, I try to get scripture as much possible. We know that is true. And if I want to tell you that I have an opinion on something, the way I think about something, I'm going to tell you that as my opinion. I think that's the way it should be. I will tell you that I base this certain thinking that I preach about on these certain bookmarks through the scriptures. I have little bookmarks here and there through my mind, as scattered as it may be, to build the way I think about things. We know the fire in Christ. There will be things that the Lord may say, Adam, you know, that really wasn't that important, the way you were thinking about this or that. But you know, you've lived your life and, you know, in a manner that's been pleasing. And I look forward to hearing the words, enter in, good and faithful servant. I'm sure you do too. But the truthful power, eternal materials of spiritual value will last and prove the test of life's storms, times of decisions. They're very cataclysmic decisions. There are sometimes things that I've had to fast and pray about, and it's taken a while to get a right thinking about it in a situation in my life. There are other times that I no more got the prayer out of my mouth, and I either got a phone call or something happened and you knew. Even to a situation that I'll have to bear testimony of sometime, whether we were to even have come here to Bradley or not. It was, I believe, a spiritual event. Had that went a different way, we may not even be here. Where God takes care of things, and He directs us. In 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, but know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I believe that takes in physical things as well as spiritual things. A lot of things physical that we can defile our bodies by, and so on, they can prove destruction to us physically, which is certainly going to go into the spiritual, isn't it? There are sins. They are physical. and they transcend into the spiritual, don't they? They take you, they provide a log jam in the road. You're not going any further. You know, I still remind when I talk about a log jam on the road. I remember we were when Brother Joel and I were up in Montana, and we're going through these roads up that because we missed our turn. We were talking gospel, we missed our turn, so we figured this. Here's about a 30-some mile cutback up through a dirt road. You know, there were some pretty deep sides to it, and there were some trees on the road, and we'd have to get out and move that tree out of the road to keep going. You know, and I'm very thankful that they were small enough that we could move them. There was some pretty big, very big stuff there. There are little trees in our life, isn't there, that we can move out of the way and we can take care of. There are some big ones of things that cause a roadblock to our faith progressing and the blessings of the Lord. In Helaman 2, 74 and 75, "And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts and the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe because of the rock upon which you are built, which is a sure foundation wherein if men build, they will not fall." Isn't that true? Upon the rock of Christ, our Redeemer. How important is it? Because his teaching, you know, the teachings of man fail. We've seen many things that have changed throughout the years, and they've even tried to disprove the scriptures. And they think a certain way for a certain amount of time. All of a sudden, they may find something. Oh, by golly, you know, God was right all along about that. So where should we base our faith? Man's always proven to be wrong, but God has always proven to be right. So where should we base our foundation of truth and invest our life? Scripture says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Meaning that things can, you know, man can fail, but God will not fail us. We build upon his foundation, his truth, and so on, then we will inherit eternal life. And that's what he said, and I depend upon that. We were talking this morning about the disciples of the Lord not able to cast certain demons out, and certain ones took more prayer and fasting and so on. This talks about when the devil shall send forth his shafts in a whirlwind, and it could really beat on people. And as we were looking at the example of Christ, you know, when he came upon him, Christ, when he was weak, tempting him, and so on. Of course, we know Christ, I don't believe that personally that Jesus would not have failed. The scriptures talk about a specific design for when his life would come, when he would come upon earth, and he needed to be. The plan was set. The die was cast, as I've said before, because he needed to be that sinless sacrifice. I don't believe that that there was a choice to be made. That no, you know, I've decided that I'm not going to be the Savior because that's going to hurt a lot. I don't think that was possible. Because remember, it was from the foundation of the earth that design was done. It was already etched in stone. More than that, it was eternal. Just as the brother of Jared saw and spoke to Christ. "As you see me now, I will come in flesh. In me shall all mankind have life eternally." It was set. Building two houses. I told you I'd get back to that. Building two houses. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. "For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." As we've been laboring and toiling in this life, for spiritual reasons, to live upon this earth, to receive the Lord's blessings, to be moved upon by His Holy Spirit, to be directed, to be led, to be taught, and to go on unto virtue, as it talks about 2 Peter, 1st chapter, that we need to have for spiritual sight. We are building our eternal home. As Jesus said, I go on to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may come. And that is our desire. That is our purpose, our hope, our assurance. I believe that we're given a brightness of hope. I believe that we're given an assurance, and that we're given boldness, as it says, in the day of judgment, because we have done our best. We've been led, but we've been directed. We have been moved, strengthened, comforted, healed, that we may inherit that eternal life. Building the walls and workmanship. 1 Peter 5:5. Yea, all you be clothed, or subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The walls and the workmanship, you might say, to the building of your house, your temple, if you will. Clothed with humility. You know, that may be a spiritual thing, isn't it? It may be a spiritual thing, but can others see and know and observe and appreciate that you have a humble nature? Yeah, they can, can't they? They're going to know the reverse, too. They're going to know if you're not. You're going to know if you're proud acting and so on. They're going to know if you're walking the walk or talking the talk, if you will. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, light for the house. We're going to have light within the house, aren't we? And what is that? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember, we were reading in John, remember when the kids were lighting the candles and so on, that would light every man? Talk about the light of Christ that has lit your life. Light of knowledge and blessing and truth and consecration unto sanctification, holiness through the Spirit and of our good works in His plan. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And us being drawn out of a life that was sinful, if you will, and so on, took us out, shines out of darkness. It's truth. Truth against untruth. It talks about we must go on unto perfection. We've talked about, yes, a foundation. Hebrews 6:1-3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, very concise way of placing it, because we must have laid the foundation first. Then we can go on building and furnishing the house. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, no laying out of hands, no the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we do, if God permit. Because as another scripture says, it's God that worketh in you to do of His good pleasure. It's if we will allow Him to. Many people take and their heart is hardened, you know, and the Spirit cannot prevail, because it's like water off a duck's back. It doesn't permeate. Furnishings for the house. John 14:23. Jesus answered, said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Closer than the shadow of our turning. You know, the Holy Spirit knows if we are true and for real and living the word of His love and patience and keeping His commandments, the abode of the Father and the Son. And talk about if we would enter in, by the way, and going back further, talks about that acting no hypocrisy, no deception. That should be prevail through our life, not just in the beginning, not just laying in within our foundation, but needs to continue through our life. Repentance is lifelong. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, more furnishings. All Scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, the precious things. Once again, you want to see what care and expense and so on was given to the temple. There was the wilderness sanctuary, but there was the one that Solomon built, the permanent one there. It was given by plan. Can anybody tell me who got the plans? Was the plan for the temple, was it something that Solomon had drafted up and they had it written down? And he just got all these things and he just started building as he went? Can anybody tell me where the plans for the temple came from? They came through Solomon's son, father David, and he was given to Solomon to build. David couldn't build it because he was a man of blood and man of war. And then Solomon was to have peace with all of his enemies. God's plan. How can we know that we have built right? How can we know? You know? There are things that some of us know that when we built our addition, there are certain things that we had to deal with to make it look decent, look good, because it wasn't perfect. And it couldn't be, but it wasn't perfect. But we went on anyway, and we had to overcome certain things too. But anyway, how do we know in our life that we have built rightly? How do we know this? But there is evidence that is spiritual and witnessed by others. Matthew 7, 17 through 20. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Our works, the sacrifices that we make in our life, if you will, in the name of Jesus, are good things that we do. But a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, ye know them. Once again, others are going to know. They're going to look at your house. They're going to look at your words. They're going to look at your... You tell people you're a Christian, and all of a sudden, you're also under the microscope. But if it's your loving desire, it won't be a problem. You don't feel like you're being judged, measured, or whatever. It's just the way you are. By their fruits, you know them. Galatians 6, 22 through 25. Once again, how do we know that we've built rightly? But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There are decisions. Once again, you heard me say this before. There are decisions that we make. There are things that we do or things that we don't do because of the fruits of the Spirit. Evidence that you have built rightly, that you have placed your faith and consecrated your life unto what is true. And I believe this is my last scripture, page 431. Page 431 in your Book of Mormon, Alma 16, 235 to 236. And this I know, he says, because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. Yea, and he has also said that the righteous shall sit down in his kingdom to go no more out, but their garments shall be made white through the blood of the Lamb. So thank you for your love and for your prayers and for our worship together.